Would you pray with me? Oh God, we thank you for your story. We thank you that you never stop speaking it into this world. And we ask that you would awaken our hearts every morning to hear it and receive it. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. It's so great that you're all here, that you braved the polar vortex again and the icy roads again. And if my parents are streaming online from California where they ran, I don't want them to feel guilty, but it's really nice that you're here. This is a famous scene, one many, if not most of you, will have heard before this morning. A woman is weeping. She falls down next to Jesus and bathes his feet in her tears. She uses her hair to dry them and anoints them with a precious perfume. And then, what? What's the point? It's a scene, but is it a story? Is there a narrative, a plot, an arc? Is there a moral we're supposed to hold on to? Maybe you think you know the woman's story, why she's doing the things she's doing, why she weeps. I'm guessing the common assumption is that she's feeling guilty, that she's begging for some kind of mercy from this Jesus she's been hearing about. In fact, there are competing narratives at work in our gospel lesson. Jesus and the Pharisee tell different stories about the weeping woman, and I wonder if they'll sound familiar to you. If you hear these stories about yourselves, even today, 2,000 years after Luke wrote these verses. Let's start with some context. Jesus and the Pharisees have been bumping heads for a couple chapters now in Luke. You saw that tension come to a head two Sundays ago in chapter 6, when Jesus kept breaking the Sabbath law stubbornly, as the Pharisees understood it, and they began to actively conspire against him. Now, just one chapter later in Luke 7, and somewhat strangely, a Pharisee invites Jesus into his home to share a meal. Is this a good faith offer, do you think? One last chance to find common ground? Or is it simply an opportunity to gather more incriminating evidence against Jesus? Regardless, it's here in the Pharisee's house that the woman's scene unfolds. When the storytelling, the meaning-making starts, the Pharisee goes first. He speaks quietly to himself. Doesn't Jesus know who's touching him? She's a sinner. Remember who the Pharisees were. In our day and age, they might be the people walking around your neighborhood, checking to see if your sidewalk has been shoveled in a timely fashion after a snowstorm, and reporting you to City Hall if that's not the case. More charitably though, more historically, the Pharisees were responsible for keeping the Jewish people in right relationship with God according to the covenant. God gave Moses the Ten Commandments with a promise. If the people keep the law, God would favor them as a chosen nation. The Pharisees were the people who made sure Israel was keeping up its end of the bargain. And when they found people breaking that covenant, as you can imagine, they took it seriously. It was a threat to the nation. So for the Pharisee, the woman's story is simple, and it goes nowhere. She's a sinner, the end. And it would be the end, I suppose, without Jesus, but now he'll have his say. Unlike the Pharisee who mutters to himself, Jesus stands up and speaks up. And even though he hasn't heard the Pharisee, he seems to know what his host was thinking. In typical fashion, Jesus responds with a parable. There are two people in debt to a man. One owes a little bit, one owes a lot. And one day, the man forgives both those debts. And Jesus asks the Pharisee, which one will love him more? The Pharisee answers, the one with the bigger debt, I guess. And Jesus says, bingo. which is surprising because people always flunk Jesus' little pop quizzes in the Gospels, especially the disciples. But this is the story Jesus would tell about the woman. She's someone with a big debt that's been canceled. So why is she weeping in Jesus' presence? Why is she bathing his feet in her tears? What's her story? Well, it turns out she's not doing it to beg for forgiveness. She's not a woman consumed by guilt. In Jesus' words, she has been forgiven, hence, she has shown great love. It's that hence that's so interesting to me. Hence means because of that thing or for that reason. So the verse could read, she has been forgiven, and because of that, she's showing great love. After all this, Jesus does something strange. This woman has already been forgiven. Jesus just said so. The woman obviously knows it with the demonstration she's making in the house. But then Jesus turns to her and says, your sins are forgiven. Why does he tell her again? And then at the end of the story, he kind of tells her again. Go in peace, he says. Your faith has saved you. Just kind of hold that in your mind. Why does he do that? Look, the Pharisee wasn't wrong when he called her a sinner. That's true. It's how Luke introduces her even, a woman from the city, a sinner. It's not up for debate in the context of the story. And that's what makes the Pharisee's story for the woman so dangerous. It's so easy to believe because it's truth mixed with a lie. When Jesus says she's forgiven, he's not refuting the Pharisee. Jesus isn't, I guess, offering a competing narrative, like I said at first. He's offering a consuming narrative. The Pharisee's story is too small, too short. Yes, she's a sinner, but that's not the end. That's the lie the Pharisee tells, that this is the end. And by the way, that story has a different and much worse hence, the Pharisee's story does. She is a sinner, hence she shows great fear or sadness or maybe anger or despair. Jesus' story for her is bigger. And look, forgiveness, which Jesus offers her, assumes sinfulness, right? Only sinners need forgiveness, after all. But forgiveness swallows sinfulness up. It replaces fear with love and joy and humble service. So to go back, what's with the repetition? Why does Jesus tell a forgiven woman that she's forgiven? I think that's the key to this whole thing we're doing here every week. Jesus repeats it, we repeat it from this pulpit, because it needs repeating. The woman needs reminding. We need reminding. You see, the Pharisees will always be with us. They'll always be here, even inside our hearts and our minds, telling us their version of our story, whispering, she's a sinner. You're a sinner. The end. She needs, we need, to hear the other story and hear it again and again and again until it drowns out and overwhelms the Pharisee's story. And what is our story? What is Jesus' story for us? That you are loved and you are forgiven. And so you are. Consider yourself reminded. And now you are free to go in peace, and you are free to show great love. Amen.